Pretty exciting to know that that's happening right now, guys. Line is happening right now. We're so excited for that. Welcome for all of you here right now. My name is Tito. Of course, all of you watching online. If this is your first time here, well, we not only want to welcome you, so welcome, but we also want to challenge you. We know that oftentimes when we do something, it's hard to know if we like it by doing it simply one time. And so here we want to give you a 3-week challenge. We challenge you to come 3 consecutive weeks in a row to really see if you like it or not. We truly believe that you will see God do something special in your life. Now, we are starting our recycle series right now. And, you know, when you think about recycling, something as this empty water bottle, something that seems like garbage, like a piece of waste, like it has no real value. The truth is, because of recycling, it does have value. It actually gets converted and made into something new. Maybe some of you don't know that lots of t-shirts are made out of recycled water bottles and sneakers and even sweaters. I didn't know this, but lots of carpets are made out of recycled water bottles. And so it's converting something that has no real value into something extremely valuable. And so let's just define recycling really quickly for all of us here. Recycling is converting old waste into new products. But for the sake of our series and what we're talking about now, we're going to kind of give that a little tweak, that definition a little tweak, and this is the way we're going to define it. Converting old ways into new practices. At Miles City, our mission and vision is helping people move towards God, just like John's move, his faith move in baptism, or maybe someone's move in faith, or maybe somebody moves anywhere on the 7 that you saw on your Connect card. All of those moves are ways that we want to help people move toward God. And actually, not only our mission and vision is the 7, but we also have 5 virtues. 5 virtues. And you might have seen the huge virtues as you walk in on the fence. If you didn't, I really encourage you to go take a look at them, read them. But for the sake of this conversation, let me list them here for you. Here's what the 5 virtues are. They're contagious joy, see then serve, tenacious teachability, audacious care, and extra mile. You'll hear those celebrated here all of the time. We talk about having a see then serve attitude or having a contagious joy, but today we're specifically going to focus on the virtue of contagious joy. But in order to really know what that is, why don't we define contagious joy? So here's how we define contagious joy. We choose to bring a spirit of positive enthusiasm with gratitude in our hearts and smiles on our faces. Whether we're introverts or extroverts, we choose to display the joy of Christ that is within us. That is contagious joy. It has nothing to do with whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. It has nothing to do with your situation. It has everything to do with you exuding the joy of Christ in your heart. But herein lies the problem. We are not always joyful. We are not always the happiest people. We sometimes are potentially the opposite of joy. And when I say we, I really mean me, okay? Me. I mean, we as a collective people, but me, myself, I think about all the areas in my life that I'm not necessarily joyful at. So I was going to just share a couple of those. I just want to be a little vulnerable with you guys, okay? Here are areas in my life that I don't really feel like I have contagious joy. The one area is when I'm late. I do not like being late. I coach my guys the same thing that my mentors coached me, which was early is on time and on time is late. And so when I'm late, I'm sweating, I'm not doing well, I'm freaking out, I'm late, I gotta go. And so when I'm late, things are not as joyful as they could be. Now, for a lot of my life, I was very much on time. And then I got married. And because she's not here to defend herself, let's just leave it at that, okay? So, also another area of that I'm not necessarily joyful is when I'm in a hurry, but the people on the road are not in a hurry. And I'm not saying that I've ever had road rage outside of the vehicle, but I'm pretty sure that I have raged it up inside of the vehicle, and my steering wheel's not happy, my family's not happy, now they're raging at me, we're raging at each other. It's just not good. So I'm not necessarily contagiously joyful there. And this is one of the biggest areas for me specifically is when I miss an exit, and I have to do like a 5 mile, some sort of insane loop, and I'm always tempted to just like, forget this, and go off-roading and just like cut across the highway. I don't know if anyone else has ever done that, but I have really, really wanted to when I miss an exit. And then the final way, and this might be the potentially the worst way, is when I'm hungry, and then I get a little angry, so I get hangry. You know, my wife and I were cracking up when we actually watched a commercial. And so, why don't you check out this commercial, because it really spells out who I become, I think.
Mike, come on!
Mike, what is your deal,
oh,
man?
Oh, come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby! Whoa. Eat a Snickers. Better?
There.
I'm up there.
That hurt.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfy.
When we saw that commercial, it was hysterical and sad, but hysterical as well, because that is the way I become. I'm not always contagiously joyful, and for you it might be some other things, but you do not want to be around me because I become contagiously angry, contagiously disgruntled, contagiously frustrated, and it makes everybody else do the same around me. And so today we're going to talk about what it looks like to be contagiously joyful and maybe some ways to help us kind of get to that destination. We're going to camp in the book of Luke. So if you have your Bibles, why don't you pull those out or turn them on, or we'll also have it up on the screen, so that's fine as well. But why don't we pray together before we get started? Father, I just ask in Jesus' name that you would help me recognize the areas of my life that I can be more joyful, that I can be more grateful. Father, I know that has nothing to do with my personality or even my situation. I know that has everything to do with who you are. And so help us all recognize that in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So we catch up in Luke chapter 15 with Jesus, and he's kind of made up this story to make a point to someone. He did this all the time. Somebody would ask him a question or bring something up, and he would just bring up a story. He was a great storyteller. And so he shares this story, but essentially he shares this story to a group of religious people that were kind of anything but contagiously joyful. They were kind of actually grumbling. And if you've ever been around a grumbler before, you're tempted to just swing at that person eventually. You know, you're just like, stop grumbling. I will knock you out. You know, right? So maybe that's just me. That's the opposite of joyful again. But the truth is, when I think about this story, I see myself in different aspects, and you probably will too as well. But the reason why they were grumbling is because Jesus was not hanging out with them. He was hanging out with tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners and people really far from God. And they were grumbling because they were like, why isn't Jesus hanging out with us? We got our stuff together. And I think that's where they missed it, because Jesus did not come to hang out with people that have their stuff together. I thank God for that, because I don't have my stuff together. And I love that Jesus wants to hang out with me because of that. And maybe many of you can relate the same way. But he came not for the healthy. He came for the sick. He came for the searching. He came for the hurting. And so we're going to catch up to the story right now. And so why don't you join me when we read this? There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that's coming to me. We'll continue reading. And as we think about the way his attitude there, we think about his attitude when he says, man, I'm basically looking for stuff. I'm just looking for stuff. And the truth is, I've been there. I have looked for stuff in my life as well. And I think about, when he says to his dad, like, hey, I want this money. I want my share of these things. And I want to kind of go explore in the world what it looks like to kind of go get stuff. And that might sound a little familiar. Maybe for some of us in this room, we have looked for joy and stuff before. We just thought, man, if we just get this house, it will just bring us great joy and things will be perfect. And many of you homeowners are going like this. Or maybe for some of us, it's that car, or it's that job, and you just really want that job, and then you get that job, and you're like, oh my gosh, why did I ever take this job? Somebody fire me, right? And so the reality is all of these things that we often pursue for joy, they're not always a thing. And for me, oftentimes it's some of those things, but you know, it hasn't even been gadgets before. I can remember only a few months ago, if anyone really knows me, they know that like I love Apple products, okay? But my Apple game is not as strong as, you know, like I want it to be, because my wallet is not as strong as Apple wants it to be. And so oftentimes my iPhone game is usually like two or three iPhones like behind everything that's going on. And recently I went from an iPhone 6 to an iPhone 8 a few months ago, and I was like, guys, when I text something, it texts, you know, because my other one was so far behind in the software, and like, you're just telling it like, Siri, I hate you, Siri, you know, you're like, whatever it is. And so when I went from a 6 to an 8, it's like the birds sang prettier. The sun was a little bit brighter. You know, and I was really enjoying, I had this whole fingerprint thing going on. I felt like it was Mission Impossible. Like I was a spy. I was like, no big deal. I've got a fingerprint scan here. You know, like I just thought I was amazing. And that was only up until Maya, who is the new location director, he texted me. So I felt amazing about my phone until he texted me. And this is actually what he texted me.
It's time for Tito's and emoji video of the day. Happy Tuesday.
All right. First of all, he did a pretty good job. Look at his actual face to his an emoji. You know, this is actually pretty good. I'll give him that. But I was like, when I got that text, I was like, what? Can I do that? Where do I do that? I want an emoji head. I gotta do that. Where do I find it? How do I get it? Here's the thing. I have an iPhone 8, but I don't have an iPhone 8 Plus. Or as I call it, the iPhone 8. You should feel very ashamed because you don't have the iPhone 8 Plus. Okay, so here's the deal. I was very content with my super spy, cool photo, like fingerprint phone that actually did what I wanted it to do until that jerk sent me that text. And I was like, I hate you, Maya, don't come, you know? So, but it's very much like all of us, we're all like that. We all kind of get fixated on something and think this thing is gonna bring us joy when in fact we finally get it and it doesn't do that. It falls short. It comes a little short of what it's supposed to be. And so the truth is that stuff is not the source of our joy. And we fall into that trap all the time, if you're anything like me. Now, this was an extreme request by a son and an extreme reply from the father. In fact, the son wanted his inheritance early. And essentially what, you know, you get the inheritance when the parent dies. And what he was telling the parent was, I'd rather you be dead and me have the money. Can we just do that thing? And so the dad complies. He goes, okay, if you want it, here it is. And so he takes this money in the most disrespectful manner, obviously, especially in this culture. You would never talk to a patriarch father like that. And essentially, his father says yes, and it says, and he divided the proper property between them. And so let's continue in that story right now. It says, not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there, he squandered his property in reckless living. And reckless living. Wild partying, drunkenness, prostitutes, you name it, he was doing it. He was just getting lit in the city. He was just doing whatever he wanted to do. He took that money and just went crazy. And he squandered it on reckless living because in his heart, in his mind, what he was thinking was, man, I just wish I had this money and I didn't have my parents, I didn't have this home. I just want this money so I can go and just party. And I know that I will have joy then. I know that it will bring me all of the things. I keep watching like my Instagram, and I'm just like, well, I want to be there, you know. And so he took his father's money and went out into the city and just squandered it away in reckless living. And unfortunately, that's not unlike many of us. If you're like me, Molly and I, when we first got married, we started wandering pretty far away from God. Molly was drinking a lot. I had a lot of secret sin nobody knew about. And eventually, we found ourselves in this rhythm of just like partying on the weekends. And I can remember one night, it was in Cleveland, when we lived in Cleveland, and we went to a place called The Flats, where like all the little bars and clubs are at and stuff, and it was a really snowy night. We took the taxi there. We jumped out. It wasn't Ubers back then. I'm older. So we jumped out, and when we jumped out, we went to a club, and we went inside, and we were just kind of hanging out. There was music going on, not a lot of people there. Molly went up to go to the restroom, and I looked over to the left, and I'll never forget it. There was just a girl, pretty young, mid-20s, but just looked like life had beaten her down. But she was in this club, and guys were kind of surrounded around her. She didn't look like she was 100% there, and it was in that moment. I will never forget this moment. I was in that room, and I just knew that God was saying, that's you in the future. Molly came back from the restroom. She was like, hey, are you ready to go? I was like, yeah, I'm ready to go. So we got in a taxi, started going home. She was like, you know, I have to be honest with you. I had a weird God moment in that place. I said, okay, what's up? And she was like, you know, I was walking to the restroom, and there was just this girl in the corner. And it looked like just life had just been sucked out of her, and there was all these guys, and they were just kind of ironing her up, and she just looked hopeless. And in that moment, I just really felt like God was telling me that, Molly, if you don't watch it, that's you in the future. And so I shared my story with her, and that was a really pivotal turning point for us when we recognized that over and over again, we would go out and do the same thing, but we'd never come back more joyful. We'd never come back more hopeful. And so reckless living is not the source of joy. But there are so many other things that we chase after. Maybe for some of us, it's relationships. Maybe some of us, do you know this person that they just got to have that man or woman, and they just got to because it's gonna mean the world. He texted me, right? You know, like that moment, or like, so the reality is, like, when you have that person, or maybe you are that person if you're reflecting right now, I assure you that that relationship is not going to be the source of your joy. For some of us, it's marriage. There are many people, maybe even in this room, that says, man, all I needed to do is get married, and then everything will be perfect. And all the married people are laughing in this room a little bit. Let's keep reading the story and see where the story goes. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to be one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And we'll keep on reading. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate from, and no one gave him anything. So the son ends up getting a job. He kind of blows through his entire inheritance. He's done. He's not doing well. There's a famine in the land. He's like, okay, I give up. Like, let me just go find a job. But the jobs were scarce. And so he ended up finding a job on some sort of pig farm. And for a Jew back then, that would have been the lowest possible thing that you could have done, was be around pigs. And in fact, even lower than that, in just the humbling, the lowest point is when he looks at the thing that the pigs are eating out of, and he's so hungry, and he says, man, I wish I was eating out of that. And for many of us, the job that we long for, the job that we want, is the job that will just bring us joy. And for me, for many years, I bounced around from job to job to job because I always thought when I was here, oh, the grass is greener over there. I'm going to make more money. I'm going to go over there. Oh, no, you know, I'm going to go do this. I've had a lot of jobs in my time. In my early 20s, it was a mess. And so I was running around from job to job. I've owned my own business. had my life health and annuities license. I was storm chasing and adjusting. I was doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But all it ultimately meant is that I was leaving my family and leaving them alone, all in the name of, I'm doing this for you. And I was doing it for me because I was looking for fulfillment through my job. And maybe some of us in this room are like that as well. Maybe you have accomplished a lot in your job. Forget about maybe not doing so in your job. Maybe you've accomplished a lot in your job, but it still has not brought you true joy and fulfillment. Because the source of our joy is not found in our job. Let's keep reading. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And as I think about that whole like moment where he's having this conversation, I think I've been there before. Maybe some of you guys have too. He's realizing what he's done, and because he's kind of in trouble, he decides to come up with like a story. And because here's what verse actually 19 continues to say. It says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So he's reciting, and maybe some of you have done this. Have you ever been so in trouble that you start practicing a speech? You know? Oh man, like when you were a kid, you're just like, oh man, I am in so much trouble. All right, so here's what I'm gonna say. And I know for me, I'll be vulnerable. In high school, I won a prestigious award, and I wanted to go to the award show, and the award was for being in drama, whatever. Okay, so for drama geeks, okay, great. All right, so I told my mom, I was like, hey, I want to go to this thing. It's downtown Houston. She was like, no, you're not doing that. I was like, what? I could be doing so many bad things, but I'm going to go like receive this cool award and like not so cool, but whatever. And so ultimately, she didn't let me go. And I was like, fine, can I go to the bowling alley, which is real local? She was like, okay. And in that time, I realized like the only reason I was going to the bowling alley is I knew nothing good happened at this bowling alley. And I was just really frustrated and want to rebel against my mom. So I went to the bowling alley, hung out with these dudes I never would ever hang out with. And they're all like, hey, you want to go for a ride? And I was like, sure, whatever. And I was just so, so ridiculously upset and like emotional. And so I jumped in the car. And then as they were driving around the neighborhood, and then one of them pulled out a bat and leaned outside the window and started knocking mailboxes and just slapping them in the air. And I'd never seen that before. And they were like, isn't this great? And I, you know, on the inside, I was like, what are we doing? You know, I'd never been in that situation. I was like, yeah, man, great job. You know, and so needless to say, about 20 minutes later, we were detained by the police. And I was sitting in the police station and I started reciting my speech. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna tell them, Mom, this is your fault. And so I started coming up with this whole thing, but she actually did not come. She actually sent my uncle. And so my uncle kind of came down the hallway, and I looked there and I had the speech ready to go. You know, I have a drama award, so I'm ready to do this, you know? And so, you know, I got up and I was like, hey, uncle. And he goes, shut your mouth. And that was the end of the speech. That was it. I didn't say anything else. Let's keep reading because we've all been there before, probably. And it says, and he arose and came to his father. And when he arose and came to his father, there was this moment where he's like, hey, listen, I realize that the source of joy is found in one place. It's actually found in the Father. It's not found in stuff. It's not found in relationships. That this true joy is found in the Father. And in fact, we read it in the scriptures in Romans. We read it in scriptures in Romans. And here's what it says in Romans. It says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust him. This guy named Paul, and he's writing this letter to a bunch of people who he's talking about Jesus about, and he's telling them that your joy is found in the Father. Not in the other things that you're chasing in your life, not in these accolades and your bank account and your relationships. It is found in the Father. And so the Son starts heading to the Father. He starts heading to the Father because he knows that where the Father is, there's hope. Where the Father is, there's peace. Where the Father is, there's joy to be had. And so ultimately, he says this as we keep reading. He says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and he felt compassion and ran to him and embraced him and kissed him. His father was on the lookout for him. And maybe what some of us need to understand in this room is that God is on the lookout for you. That God loves you and that no matter where you've been and what you're doing, out of compassion, out of love, when you start coming toward him and this compassion, this is a Greek word that essentially means a deep, deep aching in my stomach kind of compassion. And the fact that the father ran, that was a big deal. Don't miss this. The father ran. In that culture, patriarch fathers didn't run. That was child's play. It meant you had to lift up your robe, which would have been disgraceful. But he didn't care. He ran out to him anyway. He sprinted out to him. The father picked up his robe and ran out to him to meet him where he was at. And if you read this and you don't understand the context, let me give you a little bit more context. The reason why he sprinted out to him is because in that culture, those communities were pretty tight-knit. And so when he disgraced his father and disrespected his family and took the inheritance and said, man, I'd rather you be dead. I'm going to go live my life. The entire community said, you're dead to us. And if you come back here again, we'll kill you. We'll stone you. And so here he comes back, and the father knows this, so he runs past the guard gate and meets him outside of the community and saves him. That is a picture of who God is. Jesus is running toward us. And in fact, another way to say that is this, is that God's heart begins to race when we begin to race for him. There is an excitement that God has to spend time with you and to be with you. There's an excitement that God has the moment you begin to walk toward him. We say helping people move toward God because we know that when you move toward God, God moves toward you. I want to show you a video that's actually kind of a picture of this. And after we watch this video, we'll just kind of close it out. And go from there. So check this video out.
Thank you.
I know for so many of us, maybe when you hear me say, like, the Father loves you, he cares for you, run to the Father. You know, maybe you're like me. Maybe you didn't even know who your father was, or maybe worse yet, when you associate an earthly father, maybe it's associated with abuse, or like me, abandonment, or maybe there are things in your life that when you think about an earthly father, maybe it's not the best thought in the world. And I would just challenge you. Don't associate your earthly father with your heavenly father. Your heavenly father loves you and cares for you and wants to meet you where you're at. And no matter how far you've gone or what you've done, and I know you might say, Tito, you have no idea what I've done. Yeah, I don't, but your heavenly father does, and he loves you anyway. Yeah, but I continue to do those things. That's okay. Just come toward God. Walk toward God. Run toward God. He's on the lookout for you. The Father and the Son collide. And here's actually, let's finish up the story really quickly. And it says, and the Son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And in that moment, the father completely ignores him. And here's what it says. It says, but the father said to the servants, it's like he just ignored everything that he said. And he said to the servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put the ring on his hand and the shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and now he's found. And everyone in this room, I want to tell you that you have that opportunity if you've not made that decision yet. That you have a heavenly father who loves you, your creator. And as we run and chase all of the things of the world and all of the things in our relationships and our jobs and our bank accounts, our accolades, our achievements, in these things and this stuff, you'll never be fulfilled in those things. They will always fail you. They will always fail you. You might get a semblance of happiness in some of it, and that's fine, but happiness is not the same as joy. Happiness is temporal. Happiness comes and goes. It takes you on an emotional roller coaster. That's not what I'm talking about. God wants to recycle you because some of you feel as empty and as worthless as a piece of trash. And God, he wants to recycle you. He wants to recycle your heart. He wants to make you new. Here's how I would say it. If we were to just wrap this whole time together in just one sentence, here's how I would say it. I'd say the true source of joy is not found in the world, but it's found in the Father. And until we recognize that, we will continue chasing less wild lovers that fall short. And whether you identify as a Christian or you don't, you know I'm right because you've been there. And maybe even as a Christian, if you identify as a Christian, you might still be there chasing things that continue to feel empty. And I would just encourage you that you have a Father who loves you and he's ready to be with you. If you'll just come to him, he will chase you down. It's a picture of Jesus. When we have sinned, we've broken our relationship with God, and the Bible says that we're dead. But the scriptural definition of dead is separated from our relationship with God. And when we think about being separated in our relationship with God, God loved us so much that he created a way for us to come and be back in relationship with him. He sent Jesus to live a perfect life, loving and caring and healing and feeding and clothing and encouraging and giving hope and giving peace and giving forgiveness. And then he was killed for it and he died. And on the third day, he rose again, defeating death for us. That's a picture of what this story is. And many of us in this room need to accept the love of the Father and find our joy and peace in him. So do me a favor. Why don't you guys close your eyes? I'm going to pray for you. But I do want to talk to a group of people in this room that says, man, I have been struggling with finding joy. And I keep chasing the wrong things, Tito, and I don't want to do that anymore. If you feel like that's you, I mean, everybody's eyes are closed, but would you just raise your hand if you feel like that's you? Thank you very much. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Why don't you just pray this in your heart, and I'll pray for you. Father, I just ask right now that you would consume their hearts with your love and forgiveness and remind them that there is nothing that they've done that so far that you would not forgive them and wash them clean and accept them and embrace them and care for them and protect them. God, I pray that they would renew their minds daily, that they would allow you to recycle them and transform them from something old to something new every day. And as we continue to pray, there's a group of people in this room right now, I know there is, I feel it in my heart, that you have never began a relationship with God. You've never even felt the love of the Father because you've not trusted Jesus as your Savior. You've not just simply accepted the gift. And here's how you do that. You just throw up your arms. You say, okay, Jesus, I love you. I trust you. I believe in you. I trust in who you were and what you did. If that's you and you just want to accept that gift and you want to start a relationship with Jesus today, and that's you, will you raise your hand so I can pray for you? If that's you. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. All right, let me pray for you. If that was you and you just want to pray this in your heart, it's so easy. You ready? Even if you didn't raise your hand, you want to do that. Jesus, save me. I love you. Forgive me of all my junk. I trust you. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you give a hand to some of those people that made a decision today? So thank you for joining us at Mile City Online, where we're helping people move toward God. So I want to take a moment and talk to anyone right now that is interested in making another move toward God. Now, whether that's you who have maybe placed your faith in Jesus for the first time today, or you're just interested in learning more information about what it looks like to move toward God, then I want to give you one simple instruction. Text the word faith move, one word, faith move, to 77453, and someone will be able to help assist you in your moving toward God. And remember, when you see a mile sign, pray for the Mile City.